The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter Number 4, Text Number 19, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on December 19th, 2010, in Mauritius.
So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter Number 4. Vidura approaches Maitreya, text number 19.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Iti Avedita Hardaya Mahiyam Saha Bhagavan Para Adidesha Aravinda Aksha Atmanaha Paramam Stitim Ityavedita Hardaya Mahiyamsa Bhagavantaraha Adideshvara Vindaksha Atmana paramangstitim Idyavedita haridaya Mahyamsa bhagavan paraha Adideshvara vindaksha Atmana paramangstitim Ityavedita, thus being prayed to by me, Hardaya, from the core of my heart, Mahyam, unto me, Saha, He, Bhagavan, the Personality of Godhead, Para, Supreme, Adidesha, instructed, Aravinda Aksha, the lotus-eyed, Atmanaha, of himself, Paramam, transcendental, Stitim, situation, translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. When I thus expressed my heartfelt desires unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the lotus-eyed Lord instructed me about his transcendental situation. Purport. The words Paramangstitim are significant in this verse. The Lord's transcendental situation was not even spoken of to Brahma. When the four verses of Srimad Bhagavatam 2:9, 33 through 36 were explained, this transcendental situation comprises his dealings with devotees engaged in transcendental loving service as exhibited at Dwarka and Vrindavan. When the Lord explained his specific transcendental situation, it was meant for Uddhava only. And therefore Uddhava particularly said, Mahyam, unto me, although the great sage Maitreya was also sitting there. Such a transcendental situation is hardly understood by those whose devotion is mixed with speculative knowledge or fruitive activities. The Lord's activities are confidential. The Lord's activities in confidential love are very rarely disclosed to the general devotees, who are attracted by devotion mixed with knowledge and mysticism. Such activities are the inconceivable pastimes of the Lord. Vande Aham Shri Guru Shri Jata Bada Kamala Shri Guru Vaishnava Shri Rupa Sagraja Sagana Raguna Tanvita Tam Sajiva Sadaita Zavaduta Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha So, if you want to realize Krishna in full, we must then come to the platform of pure bhakti. As described by Prabhupada, devotion mixed with speculative knowledge or fruitive activities. Because we have a tendency towards mental speculation and fruitive activities. Therefore, we tend to mix devotion with these things. That means we cannot realize Krishna in full. So actually, by this speculative knowledge and fruitive activities, we are cheating ourselves. That's right. Simply cheating ourselves. What we gain by speculation and creative activities? A little mental pleasure that I am a great speculator, or some temporary sense enjoyment. Tasyaiva heto prayate tukho vido na labhyate yad brahmatam upariyadaha Talabhyate dukkavadanyata sukham kalena sarvatra gavira ramhasa. Those persons who are actually intelligent and philosophically inclined should endeavor for that purposeful end which is not obtainable by wandering from the highest planet Brahmaloka down to the lowest planet Patala. Insofar as happiness derived from material sense enjoyment is concerned, we get it automatically. Just as material miseries come automatically without any endeavor. So, that material happiness, it will come on its own accord. There's no need to endeavor. the intelligent person, the philosophically inclined person, you see. They endeavor for that end which you cannot obtain even by going all the way to the topmost planet and achieving the post of Brahmaji. They aim for simply pure devotion. Unadulterated bhakti, shuddha bhakti. Because by this shuddha bhakti, you can purchase Krishna. Nanyaschintayantamam yejana prayapasate tesham nichibiyuktanam yogachemam bahamyaham. For those who worship me with exclusive devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, I preserve what they have and I carry what they lack. Krishna becomes the personal provider for those devotees who worship him with exclusive devotion. Someone may say, well, I'm worshiping Krishna, why I'm having such difficulty in this world? Note the word exclusive devotion. There's a difference between devotion and exclusive devotion. This is the point I'm making, the Prabhupada is making. Devotion mixed with speculative knowledge and fruitive activities is not exclusive devotion. I have some devotion, and I have some speculation, and I have some fruitive activities mixed in, not pure bhakti. Krishna reciprocates differently. Yeyatamang prapadyante tangstataiva bhajam yaham mamamardvanu martante manusha paratha sarvashaha. All of them, as they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. Everyone follows my path on all respects of Sanaprita. So, how much reward do you want? Each one of us can make, each one of us does make that decision at every minute. How much we want to be rewarded by Krishna, and how much we want to try to compete with Krishna as being the enjoyer instead of the servant, you see. We are meant to give to Krishna. That is our position. Krishna is the one who takes our service. He is on the receiving end, we are on the giving end. Difficulty is we want to take that position of being the receiver instead of the giver. That's the problem. You understand? Instead of wanting to give pleasure, we want to take pleasure. We take it backwards, you see. As long as we try like that to take pleasure instead of giving pleasure, you see, then we must be in miserable condition. If your mind is your mind ever disturbed? If you ever experience mental disturbance, then you should know your mind is disturbed when you're trying to take the position which is not yours. When you try to take the position of being the enjoyer, then your mind will be disturbed, naturally. We try to blame others, well, it's their fault. They're not giving me facility for my service. They're not recognizing me. It's others' fault. No. Our own disturbance of mind is not the fault of others. It is the fact, it is our fault, because we are trying to be the enjoyer instead of the servant. That's all. If you can simply give up trying to be the enjoyer and just try to be the servant, then your mind, you'll be in bliss. You'll be tasting the nectar at every minute. You'll be diving in an ocean of nectar. Do you know how much nectar there is in Krishna consciousness? Do you know how much nectar there actually is in Krishna consciousness? Rupa Goswami gives us a hint. Tunde tandavali rating vitanute tundavali labdiye. Karna krodakadamadi gatayate kunarbhidevraspriham. Cheta prangana sangani vijayate savendriyanam kritim. No jane janita kriyad kiyadvir amrita krishneti varnadvai. Rupa Goswami says, I do not know how much nectar these two syllables, Krishna, have produced. Because whenever I chant this Krishna, it is not simply being uttered in my mouth, it is dancing in my mouth. And when it is dancing in my mouth, it's so much nectar that my one little mouth can't even drink all of that nectar. So I want to have millions of mouths when I'm chanting Hare Krishna. Give me millions of mouths, my dear Lord Krishna. And then when that sound vibration, Krishna, enters the holes of my ears, there's so much nectar in that holy name, Krishna, that my two little ears can't taste hardly any of it, so I need to have billions and trillions of years, my Lord, so I can taste at least a little bit more of that nectar. And then when the holy name is dancing in the courtyard of my heart, my mind is completely conquered. I'm stunned in a state of transcendental wonder. So this is all of this nectar that's being described by Rupa Goswami, unlimited oceans of nectar that could easily fill up the whole Indian Ocean and the Atlantic Ocean, the Pacific Ocean. It could easily fill up the entire universe. That much nectar is there simply in Krishna. So, if I'm thinking, well, I'm not getting enough nectar. My life is rather dry these days. I'm just not getting that nectar. Well, it's right there waiting for you. Why don't you just jump in? There's unlimited nectar waiting. Just jump in. It's like that summer afternoon when all the young boys, they went down to the lake and they're just sporting in the lake. Wow, this is great. They're having a great time. And one little boy is sitting there in the bank. He says, I don't know, the world looks a little cold. The water looks a little cold to me. Well, let me put my toes in. Ooh, it's a little cold. I can't go in that water. It's too cold, isn't it? So he just sits there and watches the other boys while they're sporting in the lake, you see. Now, I think it's too cold for me. And the boys are saying, come on in, the water's great, you'll love it, just jump in. Well, I don't know. The pure devotees are sporting in the waves of love of Godhead. They're inviting us to jump in. And we're thinking, well, Krishna consciousness with a little speculation, little fruit of activity. I think I'll just sit here on the bank and, you know, dip my toes in a little bit. You know, maybe a few drops, maybe, you know, water on my head. But jumping in all the way, I don't know if I'm ready for pure devotional service. I mean, I might not be happy. Maybe Krishna won't take care of me. Maybe I'll starve if I take up pure devotional service. You understand? We have all these foolish speculations. Why don't we just take what's right here, the Prabhupada says, and do it? You see. What's holding us back? As they say in Spanish, muy, muy estúpido. Very, very stupid. You see. Very stupid. We're very stupid people, you see. We're holding on to this speculation and fruit of activity. But we're fortunate we have such great leaders as Prabhupada to pull us out of our stupor, you see, our mental stupor. Yes, I can enjoy this material world, you see. I can enjoy, just give me some money, give me a house, give me a wife, give me a husband, give me a car, give me a job, give me a mango tree, you see, and I can be happy. It's a false dream. I can tell you right now, it's a false dream. You can never be happy. If even Brahma cannot be happy, with all the facility he has, Abrahma Bhuvana Loka Punaravartin Arjuna Mamupechirukonteya Punar Janmana Vijitev. Even Brahmaji cannot be happy with all the facilities that he has on the Brahma Loka planet. You see? And what can we expect this material world can give us? Krishna confirms from the highest planet, Brahma Loka, all the way down to that Patala Loka. Wherever you may go, even Mauritius, is simply a place of misery wherein repeated birth and death take place. But one who attains to my abode, punar janmana vidyate. Punar again, na, not, janma, birth, vidyate, takes. He doesn't take birth again. So, what do you want to take? We have a choice. We can either take birth and death, or we can take pure bhakti. That's our choice. What do you want to take? It's like you go to a restaurant, there's a menu, there's two choices, you see. We're in the restaurant called life. And here's the menu. You can take birth and death, or you can take pure bhakti. That's our choice. It's one or the other. You say, well, I like a mixture. No. You can't mix it. As soon as you take it, any mixture means you stay in birth and death. Prabhupada confirms this. Unless you are completely pure, you have to take birth again. You have to be completely pure. See, in Christianity, they say you don't have to be pure. You have to accept Jesus. That's all you have to do. So some devotees in ISKCON, they think, well, I don't have to become pure, I just have to get initiated, you see. You just got to accept a guru, and then I'll go back to Godhead I don't have to become a pure devotee, all I need is to have a guru. That's like Christianity. All I have to do is accept Jesus, and I'm going to heaven. I can be sinful, doesn't matter, as long as I accept Jesus, I'm okay. Well, if in ISKCON, they think, all I have to have is take a guru, and then I'm saved, you know. I'm initiated, so I'm guaranteed to go back. It's not so easy. It's like saying, I registered in the university, therefore I'm going to get a degree. No, initiation means now you've registered at the university. Now you have to work hard and earn your degree. Initiation means beginning. It doesn't mean graduation. Initiation means now you have enrolled in the process. Now you have to work hard and achieve the perfection. You see. Not that, I'm initiated, Prabhu. No. Now I'm initiated. I have my work to do now. I made my commitment. I have to follow the instructions. You see? Initiation means now I'm committed to taking up this process with full sincerity of attitude, 24 hours a day. That's what it means. I made my commitment. I've signed the contract. By sitting at that yajna, I've signed the contract. You can't cancel the contract. Unless you want to meet a horrible fate. I've made my commitment, now I have to follow through. I have to take the orders of the spiritual master, which are coming down from the previous acharyas. I have to take the instructions of these great mahajanas as my very life and soul, without deviation, 24 hours a day. Whether I'm at the temple, whether I'm at home, whether I'm at work, whether I'm in traveling here or there, I have to always be absorbed in remembering and following the instructions that I have received from the spiritual master. See. If one takes up this mood with all seriousness, anxiety will never be able to touch your heart. You'll be living in Vaikuntha at every minute. Anxiety will never touch your heart. One simply has to embrace this mood with complete determination and dedication. That's all. Whether you're a brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyasi, it doesn't matter. Shudra, vaishya, kshatriya, brahman, it doesn't matter. Whether you're rich, poor, healthy, sick, old, young, male, female, white, black, whatever designation may be there, it doesn't matter. If you take up this process with full sincerity of attitude, you will be transcendentally situated beyond this material existence. You will be on the airplane, back to home, back to Godhead. Even while within this body, you will already be on the airplane, back to home, back to Godhead. Fly Vaikuntha Airlines, it will get you there on time. Prabhupada is the pilot. Devotees are the flight attendants. Fly Vaikuntha airplane, no, not Air Mauritius, Air Vaikuntha. Pisharam, witness, Pisharam on board. Instead of these nonsense karmi movies, they have Krishna Leela, you see. Gaura Leela, Krishna Leela on the movies. There's some stupid book on buying some perfume, you know, in the. Then you have all the Vedic scriptures in a little pocket of them. Bhagavad Gita, Vedic wisdom, you see. So, we have to take lesson here from Uddhava and understand what is the qualification for understanding the paramangstitim, the transcendental situation. You don't get it by speculative knowledge and fruitive activities. You have to be a completely sold-out servant of Guru and Krishna, and then you can realize, really, what is Krishna? You can connect with Krishna at every minute. When you see the deity, you will not see a statue. You will see Krishna directly, face to face. You have to be in this mood of pure bhakti. You have to be. So I can ask now if there's any questions.
So that sometimes happens that when we become a master, or we are supposed to be a master.
What is the word? What?
Master. Master.
Master?
Master.
Master.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So, and then he expects that he receive respect from everyone.
Yeah.
So it's correct or?
One becomes a spiritual master. In any position,
yeah.
Like a temple president, or one takes the position of master.
Somebody? When the mind is disturbed, so he still expects that someone, that he is going to receive respect from others.
So I think I got about half of the point.
No, he said he thinks that he's a master.
If one is, when is the position of master, like a husband or a temple president or a?
Okay, come on.
Yeah. But
in relationship to the class, like mentioned,
sure.
Like sometimes we are master, then we want to be glorified. When you're master.
No, the master should not want to be glorified. That means he's not a master.
All right.
If one is actually a master, he may, it's like a spiritual master, for example. If a spiritual master wants to be glorified, he's not a spiritual master, he's a spiritual joker. Anyone who wants to be glorified is not actually a master, they're simply a rascal. The bogus guru, yes, he wants to be glorified. But a bona fide spiritual master, actually he finds being glorified to be very uncomfortable. It's an austerity for him to be glorified. But he accepts glorification as a... It's like the tax collector gathers money on behalf of the government. It's not going in his pocket. He's collecting money, and it's his duty to collect money on behalf of the government. So it's the duty of the spiritual master to accept the glorification of the disciples, not for himself, but to pass to his spiritual master. So, for example, I have disciples, and we just had my Vyasa Puja recently in Eastern Europe. So there was a whole room full of people glorifying me, you know, offering their obeisances, singing prayers to me, offering me arti. So I was just trying to, I was sitting there, you know, with a whole, you know, 25 beautiful garlands, you know, I was sitting there just being glorified and worshipped like anything. And I was just meditating. Well, I was thinking, when I leave my body, they'll be doing this also for my corpse. So I just tried to detach myself from this whole thing and realize that this is not really for me. I'm just doing this on behalf of Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada taught us like that. We were with Prabhupada in 1972 at his Vyasa Puja celebration in New Vrindavan. And there were many outsiders there, from the New York Times was there, and other media people were there. So we explained how the spiritual master, he's just like in India during the British rule, the viceroy would be there and he would receive all the honor and worship that was due to the king, but he would not accept it for himself. He would send whatever gifts he received to London. So if he thought, oh yes, I deserve this, they're worshiping me as the king, actually I am the king, then he's going to be... the king will remove him from this position. So if a spiritual master is dreaming that actually I deserve this, then he'll fall down. And we've seen in our society some of our gurus fell down, you see. Perhaps they were, you know, something was wrong that caused them to fall down. And we could have been, they were thinking, I deserve this. So if the master actually feels I deserve this honor and this respect, then he's not a spiritual master. He's simply a rascal. The bona fide spiritual master, he simply thinks my spiritual master has given me this duty, this service, so let me do it for his pleasure and his satisfaction. Whatever honor, whatever prestige I may receive, that goes along with the office. It's because of my spiritual master's mercy. It's like Prabhupada told us, he said, he told his disciples, he said, you were all sent to me by my Guru Maharaj. He took us as the representatives of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. So the spiritual master, he should think, well, Srila Prabhupada has sent me all these people to engage in serving his mission. That's all. I'm just a humble servant of Prabhupada and his mission, and he sent me all these people to engage in serving Prabhupada's mission. That's all. And he thinks that he deserves to be glorified, then he's in an illusion, a state of illusion, a grand illusion. He's mad, madda. He's insane. Bona fide spiritual master never thinks that he's worthy of any worship and glorification. He feels that actually I'm a monster. I'm just a monster. Somehow I'm a monster that crawled out of the swamps, but somehow they're by, you know, the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, I've been given this service in his mission. So let me do it with full sincerity. Yeah.
On the other hand,
Isn't what?
If the spiritual master doesn't teach the disciple,
if he doesn't
teach,
he has to teach them to glorify him. You'll notice in Prabhupada's books, he always talks about, he doesn't say me, he always says the spiritual master. That's the thing. That's the mood. He always thinks, I have to train my disciples how to properly glorify and surrender to the spiritual master. In other words, it's an office, it's a position. He doesn't really think it's to me, although he's in that position. He always humbly thinks it's the position, it's not me. The office has to be honored. Because when this office, the position of guru is honored, then that honor then goes to all the previous acharyas, all the way to Krishna. So he does train the disciples. If they don't offer him proper respect, he says they're not properly offering the spiritual, the position of spiritual, the person, they're not properly honoring the spiritual master. So he corrects them. Not for his own sake, but their sake, because they have to learn how to respect the spiritual master. He doesn't think he's worthy. But he thinks my disciples, just as I have to honor the spiritual master, or my Krishna consciousness will be destroyed, these disciples that I have, they have to also properly honor and worship the spiritual master, or their spiritual lives will be destroyed. So as a service to his disciples, the spiritual master trained them how to properly surrender to and worship the spiritual master. You understand? Okay, could you give a description of a Vaikuntha airplane? They are described in some in the Bhagavatam. Could you give a description of a Vaikuntha airplane? That's the question. So, we see how they're depicted in Prabhupada's books. Prabhupada was consulted on how these illustrations should be done. So we see they didn't require a pressurized cabin, for example. They didn't require a jet engine from Rolls-Royce company or anything like that. They didn't require, you know, fossil fuel. They didn't require a runway. They can just and you just get in and they can travel. There's no limit to how fast they can travel. They can slow down or speed up. I mean, they can enter they can pass through the coverings of the universe with no problem at all. You don't even feel it when you go through the coverings. But if you really want to know what they're like, you got to just get your ticket and go for your trip. If you really want to know, you got to fly on one. If you really want to know what they're like, you got to fly on one. Who is qualified to go there? Only the pure devotee, Shuddha Bhakta. If you want to qualify for that ticket in the Vaikuntha airplane, you have to have very intense greediness. Krishna bhakti rasa bhavita mati kriyatang yadi kuto pilabhyate tattalayam apimuyamekalam janmako ti sukritayana labhyate. Pure devotional service in Krishna consciousness cannot be had even by executing pious activities in hundreds, thousands, even millions of lives. It can be achieved only by paying one price, and that is tattalayam, intense greed to obtain it. If it's available somewhere, one must purchase it without delay. So you want that ticket on the Vaikuntha airplane? There's only one way to get it. You've got to be greedy. You have to have intense greed that I must get that ticket for the Vaikuntha airplane, that pure bhakti. I must get it. I must get it. If it's available somewhere, I'm going to run there as fast as I can. I'm going to get in my car and go 100 miles an hour. If it's available somewhere, I'm going to go there and I'm going to get it, you see. Intensely greedy. It's like in this world when somebody becomes lusty for sex life, you see. They'll do anything to get sex life. Well, you have to be even more greedy for this Krishna bhakti rasa. Even more greedy. Even more greedy. That's the price. You have to have intense greed. That's the qualification to get the ticket on the Vaikuntha airplane. Any other questions? Coming back to the ear.
Okay, when we go to the spiritual world, there we have our spiritual master, all our grand spiritual masters and great masters.
That's right.
Now, when we enter the spiritual all of Goloka Vrindavan, now, do we bypass them or do we go through them? How do we relate to them while we're entering the spiritual world?
How do we relate to the other planets or all the gurus?
Yeah.
The gurus?
Yeah.
Yes. We will be there. We will humbly bow down at their feet and take that dust. Take the dust on our heads. We'll be so happy. Oh, I get to see Prabhupada. I get to see Bhakti. We'll be so happy. We'll just be rolling in the dust of Vrindavan in the state of transcendental bliss. I get to see all these great acharyas. I've heard about Prabhupada. I've heard about Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. I can even meet Bhakti Vinod Thakur and Jagannath Das Babaji. And I always heard that Narottam Das Thakur's kirtans could melt the rock, and now I can actually get to hear his kirtan. I get to join with Narottam Das in kirtan. Oh, I get to join Narottam Das in the kirtan. Oh, you see that? I actually get to see Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, and just it'll just be inconceivably nectarian. What can I say? You can just there's just no limit to how nectarian it'd be. You can actually sit at Prabhupada's lotus feet, you know, and have your own intimate moments with Srila Prabhupada, talking about Krishna, inquiring from him how to become more and more pleasing to him, you see. The ecstasy is this inconceivably wonderful that one will taste in Goloka. Inconceivably wonderful. The only one way to really know is to go there, you know. I mean, just imagine. So we have to qualify ourselves. We have to be in a mood of pure bhakti. We have to kick out mental speculation and fruitive activities. Just give them kick them out with boot. Give them the royal kick out. Get them out of here. You see. Pure bhakti. That's all. Just imagine if I be right now I'm leaving my body, you see. Right now, I'm leaving my body. The doctor has informed me you have cancer, and now it's winding down. It's my last day on the planet. What would you do with your consciousness? You think you're not going to die? Any of you think you're immune from death? Of course, the soul, I'm not talking about, the body. Do you think you're immune from death? You see? You're not. In fact, we're dying right now. We're inching our way towards death at every second. With every rising and setting of the sun, our duration of life is being robbed away. But if you will absorb yourself in Hari Katha, hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, serving the Lord, serving the Vaishnavas, if you will absorb yourself in this process described by Srila Prabhupada as Krishna consciousness, then you will defeat the sun. The sun will not be able to rob your duration of life. You'll be deathless. But every minute you'll be reviving your original spiritual body. You'll be coming back. As your body, your material body fades out, your spiritual body will be fading in. Yeah.
relieves. So if a disciple leaves his body before his spiritual master, so how does he enter the Vaikuntha planet?
So the disciple leaves the spiritual world before the spiritual master. The spiritual master can actually simultaneously be in the spiritual world and the material world. So one could think, well, how could I go back to Godhead if I have to give up my guru's association? How could I tolerate going to Golok if my guru wasn't present there? It would be too painful. I wouldn't want to go. But actually, the spiritual master can be in Goloka and the material world at the same time. So you can see your spiritual master here. He can be here, and you can also see him when you go to Goloka Vrindavan. He can be in both worlds simultaneously. Prabhupada confirmed in the fifth canto how Prahlad Maharaj is simultaneously in the spiritual and material world. So you don't have to be afraid that, oh no, Gurudev is still here preaching, he's still traveling around doing his e-course, and here I am going back to God and he won't be there. How can I? No, don't think like that. Spiritual master can be, will be in the spiritual world also. You can associate with him there also, serve him there also. He'll introduce you to Prabhupada. Prabhupada, this is my dear disciple. He'll introduce you to Srila Prabhupada. Any other questions? You're thanking me?
Yeah, I'm thanking you.
Well, thank you for coming and hearing it. By your, I became inspired by your nice listening. You see? If there's only four walls, I don't get so enlivened. Yeah. Prabhupada was so transcendental, he could speak to the four walls and be very enlivened. I become very enlivened if there's some eager listeners. You see? Like, I can see you were hearing with great enthusiasm today. That inspired me greatly. I appreciate your enthusiasm. That means I can understand if someone is an eager listener, like I've seen you today, an eager listener, I can understand that you're a good preacher also. Prabhupada said that if one hears nicely, they can speak nicely. So if one who is very eager to hear, I can see by looking at your faces who's an eager hearer and who's waiting for the class to finish so they can go do something else. You see, those who are eager to hear, thinking, I could, this is so sweet, I could go on for 1,000 years hearing. You see, that's called attachment to hearing. It's like the sages in Naimisharanya, they sat down for 1,000 year sacrifice. Just imagine a 1,000 year Bhagavatam class. Who's eager now to sit for 1,000 years? You see. And there's, I can see anybody who's eager for hearing, that means they can preach nicely also. Prabhupada said, because I heard nicely, therefore I can preach nicely. So if you want to be a powerful preacher to push forward this movement of Prabhupada, just be a very good hearer. Learn how to hear very nicely. Let your mind zero in and focus on the transcendental knowledge. Don't let it go dancing like a monkey. Here, there, and everywhere. You see, there's already enough monkeys in Vrindavan. Don't let your mind be like a monkey, jumping from this mental tangent to that mental tangent. Just bring it right into the message, zero in on the message. You see, that's the key. Zero in on the message. And that way you'll become transcendently situated beyond the modes of nature. Huh? That's right. I remember you from Houston. That apartment building. Yeah, that devotee owned that apartment building. I remember we were meeting then. It's been many years, like 15 years or something.
Yeah. When I came out from there, I started some business down there. And we started right from scratch. And we, like Krishna's business, we built this temple.
Huh? I can't get everything.
When he came back from Houston, he started a business, and then by the grace of Krishna, he has built this temple.
Yeah, Krishna has greatly blessed you.
Yeah.
He's greatly blessed you.
He should also come all the time. When he
he's asking you to come all the time here.
Well, actually, actually, do you think I'm leaving? Wherever the, because you're, I can never leave. I can never leave. Because I see you're sincerely trying to serve Prabhupada's mission here. There, my heart stays with you. I can never leave, actually. I can never leave this place. I can see how sincerely you're serving Prabhupada. Beautiful, such nice altar you've made, such nice Prabhupada murti you've gotten, everything, first class. So I can never leave this place. Not possible. Whenever there's opportunity to come again, I'll be happy to come back. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.